Good morning. It's Monday, the 11th day of May 2020. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today. Call us as usual at 434-1790 and talk to us via WhatsApp as well. Look forward to an interesting day's program. So let's go straight to the telephone lines. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm well.
Yes, sir. What I would like to speak about this morning is that I would like to inform those young people and those university students to go into a new world. We'll be entering into a new world, and I would like them to be studying the new world technicians, to be new world technicians.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm getting the feedback from your section, though.
Ma'am, I apologize for that. I think since last week people have been telling me that. But I can hear you clearly.
Okay.
My problem is I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, you can't understand me?
No.
Okay, what I'm saying is that with the COVID-19, we will have a new world after it's being cleared up. And I'm predicting that we're going to need more doctors, we're going to need more nurses, we're going to need more agriculturists, farmers, and undertakers. Because most people will be at home, working from their home base. And you will have people coming down with more diabetes, more hypertension, because it will not be on that kind of exercise movement to get up to go to work and whatnot, to be home. So I would advise those young people to go into a career that could suit these kind of activities
such as
after the COVID-19.
Such as?
You didn't hear what I said?
Yeah, I've heard you, but I want you to specify these careers now.
I call them, like, you're going to want more doctors.
More doctors.
You're going to want more nurses.
And you want more funeral directors, as we said.
More funeral directors. you're going to want a whole set of new. We have them, but you're going to want more now. Because those people that are stagnated now, home, working home base, a lot of them is going to come down with a lot of these elements, because they will not be moving around. They will not be going to get up to go to work. You know, they won't have that energy anymore. They'll be wake up from the morning. Some of them may even go to bed or go straight on the computer or whatever they're working from, telephone, and start doing the work. Back to sit down or lay down, or they'll be confined. That's what I'm speaking about, sir.
All right, sir. You know, on Friday, a former worker of the Insurance Corporation of Barbados raised a complaint here that he was facing delays in getting his pension from that company. So they have responded with this statement, which says that with the advent of COVID-19 and the subsequent closing of insurance companies, that they successfully established working from home operations for the safety of customers and staff, and their remote operations understandably prohibited the ability for check printing and required alternate methods of delivering pension payments. This process experienced some internal and external technical challenges, which unfortunately resulted in delays in the payments. They said that they are happy to report that at this time, 80% of their direct deposit customers have received their pensions, and they are working around the clock to complete the payment process for the remaining 20%, which will be finalized within the next few days. And they're advising persons who normally collect pension checks or receive them by mail to respond if they haven't yet responded to the recent radio notices to contact them urgently, that they should do so at the pensions hotline, which is 434-6014. That's 434 6014. I hope that the caller who was so frustrated when last he spoke to us will take advantage of this information and call them at the hotline number. Hello.
Good morning, Mr.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Welcome to the program.
I have a few concerns. In the present COVID-19 development that we have ongoing all over the world, we have a very serious problem in Barbados that needs to be addressed. And it has to do with the QEH, the Lady Mead, what we are called Sir Winston Scott. I say this against the background of a lady going to her ophthalmologist. She's given a referral letter to take to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. She is given an appointment. She goes earlier, like March, but she's given an appointment to see an ophthalmologist at the hospital in November. I deliberately made a check to find out why these developments, when the doctor had diagnosed the patient with a bleeding in the back of her eyes. And when I checked with an ophthalmologist, she told me that most people who come to the hospital with referral letters from the ophthalmologist, they are seen by a clerical officer who has no knowledge of what. All the person has to do is give dates that they have in their diary to patients. I would like the minister to hear me and have this matter solved once and for all.
What specifically are you calling for?
I'm calling for a healthcare professional who deals in the area of ophthalmology, cardiology, or something, to see a patient with a referral letter rather than a clerical officer. These are the telling and the binding things. In addition to this, a lady took sick in the rural parish. She called an ambulance, takes her to the QEH. She goes there and she tells the professional or whoever she met that she had a terrible headache. They said, this is not the place for that. And they sent her over to Sir Winston Scott. She went there about 7 o'clock the night. And up to 1 o'clock coming on morning, she never saw no doctor. She got up now to go to see a brother or somebody will say to give her something and collapse at the Sir Winston Scott and passed away. These are the problems that we face on a daily basis within the health center, and they need to come to an end. Somebody took the headache at the QES as being trivial and transferred the matter without seeing the patient. So, somebody other than a healthcare professional tells the patient, take her over to the Sir Winston Scott Clinic, where she's stood there, collapsed, and died.
How long ago did that happen?
That happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. And these are the problems that we are facing. We need to get the healthcare professional seeing patient, because I am saying in her case, if she had seen by a professional at QEH, maybe she may be alive today. But having to be transferred to Sir Winston Scott. I mean, these are the problems. I would like the minister to be hearing me now and put something in place to stop this nonsense. Thank you very much, sir.
Was this person close to you?
No, they were in a rural parish, I said. I'm not very
in
close
a rural,
to
you. Well, I meant a relative or somebody like that?
No, just a close friend.
A close friend?
Yes.
And over these last 2 weeks, what have you done to draw this matter to the attention of the authorities?
I was trying to get through the radio program for the longest, but it's the first time I got through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had got through, given that the circumstances that prevailed, I would have drawn it to your attention, Mr. Ellis. Mm-hmm. Because these are serious things. These are matters of concern. Whenever somebody goes to the QEH, they are seen other than they are to be seen or referred to the QEH, they're seen by people other than healthcare professionals.
These are two separate matters that you have discussed. But are you sure that the first case where the person went to see the ophthalmologist and the claim was that they were supposed to
she
be seen by
the back of her eyes.
Yeah, but your claim is that they were told that they would be seen by a clerical officer.
She took the letter to the QEH and seen by a clerical officer who gives her a date to see an ophthalmologist at the hospital.
In November. Okay. And what happened thereafter? This coming November.
No.
All right. So that is setting up the appointment.
You think that you have to see
the ophthalmologist to set up the appointment?
But if you have a serious matter, bleeding. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about bleeding. It's central to my discussion.
Right.
Which I take to be a very serious matter.
So you would expect that once that person is given a letter of referral, that they will be seen by an ophthalmologist at that point, and then if an appointment needs to be made, then that will be determined by the ophthalmologist
exactly,
and not by
sir.
The clerical officer.
You're hitting the nail on the head, man. This is what needs to happen. That you cannot go take somebody who has a bleeding any part of them internally and give them a point for November. That makes no sense.
And you are in a strong position to say that this actually happened.
This happened, yes. This happened. And I'm sure every person, and the lady is about 82, 83 years old. And when you get that age, it will appear as though you have no more significance within the society. I mean, these things are painful to hear or to understand. And I'm saying that something needs to be done, especially when it comes to referrals, to go to a premier institution to be seen by a clerical officer. No referral should go in the hands of a clerical officer. It has to be seen by a healthcare professional.
Well, I can only go on the basis of what you have reported to us, and I can only ask that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital responds to this matter, whether they can do so today or at their earliest convenience, to say to us what exactly is happening with respect to referrals to the Department of Ophthalmology. And we understand that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of this coronavirus elsewhere, because we don't really get much information about what is happening in Barbados. We can go online and we can go abroad and we will hear a lot of what is happening in relation to health professionals and how they're doing their work there. What we get here is just the general sound bites that we are to celebrate the health professionals who are on the front line. But in Barbados, we don't really, from what I have seen and heard, you don't get into any nitty-gritty of how we are doing our thing here. So outside of Barbados, the people who are working in those areas have also become infected by the coronavirus. And therefore, there's a high degree of fear among even health professionals. What we need to get a sense of is the degree to which the other services in Barbados have been impacted by the COVID-19. Because it is one thing for the health authorities to say, well, we need to keep the QEH COVID-free. That's what they said they were about. But having set about trying to keep it COVID-free, does that mean that you do not have any ripple effect from the fact that COVID is still out there? Now, a fundamental issue that they need to address is that I know of views that say that people who are patients at the QEH ought to be tested for COVID so that the doctors and the nurses could be more assured that when they are working with those patients, they are free of COVID. So if there is no testing, then it also creates an environment where the health professional can be more afraid and may well be saying, look, you know, we got to take a back seat with this thing until the situation clears. I don't know that to be the exact situation, but I am just, you know, speculating that this is the kind of environment in which we find ourselves, okay? So as it relates to the specifics, the QEH would have to respond to that. I'm sorry that it has left you as frustrated as it has, though.
May I add?
Yes, sir?
May I add?
Yeah.
Some time ago, a lady went to her bathroom again and found that she was bleeding after using the bathroom, and then immediately decided that she has to go off to the QEH. They recognized, I'm told, that it was a fibroid that she was experiencing, the challenge of a fibroid. She goes to QEH, and she's referred again to a surgeon who deals with that type of thing. She was given a date, remote from what she expected. Say, for example, she went in May, she was treated and given an appointment about 6 months down the road. You know what that doctor, you know what a surgeon told that lady?
Well, that's
I mean, this type of nonsense.
But as it relates to the first matter that you raised,
yeah.
These things sometimes need a little bit more investigation because somebody points. So while you may define and describe this person on the receiving end of the referral as a clerical officer, there are people who are medical records officers as well who have been trained in that area. So that
that's not strictly true, Miss Ellis. That's not strictly true.
Not in this instance.
Because I checked with an ophthalmologist who told me that. That's why he was able to draw that to your attention.
Okay.
That they don't ever see a healthcare professional.
Okay.
Yes, I checked with an ophthalmologist. Why is that type of thing prevailing at the hospital? And she told me exactly why. And she then asked me to let the patient give her a call. You know, in relation to that matter. Whatever happened since then, I really don't know. But I was concerned.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
I'm speaking to you all right?
You're on the air.
Right. I don't usually call a program like this, but gentlemen, I just spoke to you. Truthfully, it is not a fictitious conversation in relation to the things that he has said to you. I want to add to that story.
Your call is breaking up a bit. It's not the best quality, but we'll try.
All right. I can get the feedback coming to me as well.
Okay, we'll have to get the technical people to look at that. I'm sorry about the inconvenience that it is causing.
Attack on the medical fraternity. It is just some action in view of what is happening to COVID-19. I am aware personally of.
Can you please leave your number with the producer and let the producer call you back to see if this line will improve? Because it's not going to do us any good to continue with the technical quality being as sporadic as it is here and now. Yes. Let's take another call in the meantime. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes. I work at a hotel. And you know the hotel through this pandemic time.
Yeah.
But last week, I get my mail with the green paper, and also inside that mail had a farmer's grocery farm selling foodstuffs. I want to know if, just saying, I am laid off in a pandemic time like this. I worked for you, and you sent me a grocery list. You were really selling me food stuff.
So you were offended?
Really and truly, I feel a sort of way because I work there. I have it hard right now. I have kids, one still at school, and it's rough on me right now. To see a food list like this, here come selling food stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's just what I have to say.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for calling. Morning, down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Hello, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. I'm trying to find out if someone can call in from the Her Majesty prison and explain about the PayPal, how it goes to the money.
The PayPal?
Call in there, yeah. After sent through the money to PayPal now. And you call in and when they put it through, the phone is just keep cutting now, you're not getting it through.
Well, I hope somebody in government is listening to this.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks. Hello.
David?
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You were the person on the line just now?
People to verify.
You were the person calling earlier?
Yes, please.
Okay, good.
You're
it's much better now. It's much better now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The lady that has fell and died at the fast track. That is a fact. It happened about 2 weeks ago, and it traumatized an individual that was there with her daughter practicing or used to be a nurse and was very, very, very concerned about what and how those events turned out. And, you know, David, the funny thing about it is that you had to be there to understand what really went on. The radio stations cannot be everywhere. You guys depend on people like us in John Public to report you the facts as they turned out when an event happens. When an accident happens, you come and try to speak to the person that got there first to try to get some overview as to what really happened. You need more conversation coming through because the lady that has died, she can't call you. The family has been traumatized because when the events of what did occur happened, they're in no position to call you to discuss a matter such as that. Someone having the bleeding in the back of the eye, that is as serious as anything. And these prolonged dates that they're being given in COVID-free is an indictment on society as it tries to manage these very serious issues. I took a young lady to the fast track. The doctor examined her and sent her over to the hospital. The hospital gave her a date and sent her home and tell her via on a telephone call, and she was suffering, sir, in my opinion and the doctor's opinion, some sort of stroke on the left side of her body. She's still waiting for a call from the hospital in order to be able to get an X-ray, David. This is a fact. I spoke to her brother up there yesterday, and he's very concerned for what is happening with her sister, waiting for somebody to send her back a call. And you dare turn up at the hospital without calling. Nobody ain't paying you the money because in light of the COVID situation, they're telling you in every news release coming from your station, David, call this number, don't turn up. What do? You suffer in isolation. Yourself, David, not necessarily ridicule, but grills the caller and ask him definitively if what he or she is saying is factual. That gentleman that spoke to you previous to the lady just now has been factual and is factual to you. What I am saying to you is a fact because I have lived it. I can bring the people to talk to you if necessary, and I myself had an experience like that. It is going on and on and on and on and on and on to no very sad on this society because, look, here is what is happening. You trying to keep QEH COVID-free. You send everybody on to polyclinics or this medical fraternity, XYZ. People sit down at the front of the hospital, whether they're doctors, whether they're clerical officers, whether they're security, whether they're the ambulance people or whatever, and your life is metered out right there. Right there. A person going anywhere, David, for a headache you don't believe should have been looked at by a nurse or a doctor as a matter of urgency. Sir, if you leave your office not feeling well, what is the first thing you do? You go and take some sort of medication for the headache. And if when all of that has failed, sir, and you go to a medical fraternity, you mean to tell me you should be turned away and turn around and then subsequently die? It's the simplicity of it, and it is hard. Barbadians that are trying their utmost best to alleviate the problems with the COVID-19 have been out there on a daily basis practicing the social distancing to a point now where people are saying to me, David, I am very tired of being at home. Tired. You could imagine able-bodied Barbadians, productive Barbadians, home with nothing to do. Can't go outside. It is worse than going to jail, sir. Worse. Because you are asked to stay in your home. If you incur a problem, you are asked to use your phone, call a health institution to get help. They send you an ambulance, and you are assessed on the spot. The ambulance and the officials there determine whether or not you should go to the hospital. When you get to the hospital, you get another examination in the ambulance. The doctor or whoever is there to meet whatever is going on, they then determine whether or not you're going to go in the hospital or to the fast track around the corner. And David, I urge you, sir, to check.
Look, you know, as far as I'm concerned,
have been admitted to the hospital within the last COVID-19 epidemic. A lot have been admitted because you're going through them doors unless you seriously, if you got a gunshot and you need emergency thing, you get in an accident and the jaws of death had to come and so on and so on and so on. That means the only thing going into your hospital with a headache, had no right dying. This is sad. And a lot of it is going on. Too much of it.
Look,
and people are
suffering. I can only go by the things that you tell us. You know, as I said to you.
I am not trying to talk over you.
But just hold on. But you said a lot.
I let them interview people.
You said a lot. There is more than one way to achieve the objective of reflecting the reality that is facing people, as you have outlined it. You can send the people, but you see this forum here today? I already get people here. A number of people are responding now with their experiences as it relates to the coming to us via WhatsApp and that sort of stuff. Indeed, I can tell you that later in this program today, I have an interview lined up to do it live with somebody who has a concern about aspects of this particular issue. So it is by sheer coincidence that this matter should come to us today. So I'm keen to hear, because we can't be everywhere, but we have a responsibility to reflect our reality. And we are, I can tell you, we are in a country right now where there are a lot of people who, once it is determined that the government says it wants to do X or it wants to do Y, they all retreat. They don't want to say anything. They want to just follow exactly what the government has said. Now, the government of Barbados has done a really good job so far in many areas. But the government of Barbados is not perfect. Nobody is. And, you know, in a democracy, you know, you need to be able to say, look, I don't like this and I like that. I think we should make adjustments here or there. You got to be able to appreciate, yes, the government has put a lot of resources behind COVID and has done a good job so far in trying to contain deaths and that, all of that. But what's the other side of that? For everything you get on one hand, you lose something on the other. So what have we lost? You know, and you're struggling in a country with slender resources. Because we have slender resources, because we know how tough the situation is, does it mean that we are not going to speak about some of those things that we believe need attention nonetheless? And you can just go down and say, well, it's a tough situation, and there got to be some collateral damage. Yeah, that's the attitude that some people may have. So this is the place for you to help us understand what's happening out there. So you've corroborated the story from the man who said that 2 weeks ago, the woman had a headache. She was sent to the polyclinic. She stayed there for a long time and she collapsed and died. So you've confirmed that. This is down to brass tacks.